Well, welcome aboard. The helicopter, it was a joke, people. It was a joke. We don't have a helicopter. We want one, but we don't have one. But here we are, live on a Tuesday afternoon. You now see the view I see, and it is very interesting because I have lots of things going on.
It's great to see where it happens, Mike.
All the action.
The control board, you got like seven arms reaching out, fingers punching everywhere. You got a great view. You got sticky notes and maps and calendars and everything.
That's it.
It's impressive.
You have to be somewhat organized. And you know what's funny? When I don't have the calendar done, I'm lost.
Ooh.
I had to do the show at home a couple
old
times.
Old school calendar, though. Old school, right? I mean, it's
dry erase. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wet erase. That's whatever it is. But during the pandemic, when I was forced to do a couple of shows at home, and you don't realize the crutches you have until you're out in the wild. So here today, you don't have a pile of notes with you.
I don't have my notes. I got
your notes.
You want
to borrow my laptop?
No, I'm good. I got a blank yellow pad here.
I left that for you.
Ask me tough questions, I'll write them down.
Just in case you have any random thoughts, because every day I do radio, I have sheets full of things either where I'm trying to not to forget or it's a big deal. And every time we get together, I always tell you I'll forget something and then I'll remember it later. And
we didn't even do our prep this time. We're just cold open. Here we go.
So when you leave government, you'll join me as a co-host then. Wait till you see what it pays.
It's too much work.
You'll be great. No, too much work. You'll love it.
Too hard. Too much pressure.
Not at all. Well, you've been in front of a microphone multiple times in your life. So when you said you wanted to do this, I was not afraid at all. You've sang. You've performed. You've played instruments. Radio. This is easy.
I love radio though. It's great. It's so intimate, and the studios are awesome. I just hadn't seen you since
live
we've been doing this
in
live
person.
So, thanks for hosting me.
Well, thanks for coming on. And we were talking about this before we hit the air. Mick Renhuizen is a friend of mine. Obviously, was your former deputy mayor, one of your 14 former deputy mayors.
Wait a minute.
Not that many. Four. That's right. Still a record. Tied for the record. And he called me during the pandemic and said, hey, we'd like to be on the station. And I said, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. And since then, I wasn't sure after the pandemic if we'd continue,
right.
but we have, and here we are, and here in the 2 months left to go before they, boy, what a geez. Right. Well, we'll get into what you're doing later. I won't bother you with that today. But just to have the connection of what's going on, and you and I joke and laugh every Tuesday because that's what part of it is. This is not 60 Minutes. This is not, this is not hard hitting in the sense of some people say, well, why don't you ask him this or that? I say, well, it's not my job to cross examine him. It's my job to ask the questions that are pertinent in our society, in our city, and get the perspective of the executive branch of Bloomington. So that's what we've always tried to do here, and today's show won't be any different. We'll just have a little bit more fun because now we can see each other instead of waiting for the pause
on the phone.
But we can see Walnut and 7th Street, so we get all the action going north. I watch kids get off the bus, run through the puddles in the rain. I watch people jaywalk. I watch cars go south on Walnut Street when they're not supposed to. So welcome to my zoo. Here we are on the fourth floor and having fun with it. But to lead things off today, we had a very busy council meeting last Thursday. We are looking live at the 7 line.
I see it right there.
What is the future moving forward? There was a vote taken. We're going to put stop signs back up, perhaps. What do we know here on the 10th day of the 10th month?
Well, first, let me thank you. Mike, you mentioned we've been doing this since the pandemic. I think we talked about this a little bit. But it is serious that this chance to be able to talk about what's going on in the city, you ask questions about any topic. I think we kind of say anything's fair game, almost. I mean, sometimes something might be too sensitive, but I appreciate it and the chance to talk about what's going on. This is government belongs to the people. If you don't like what it's saying, as you've said often, go find the right person to complain to, and we try to help make sure we steer you in the right direction. But so 7 line, good example. 7, while we can do some things from the administration, ultimately the determination of what happens on our streets is basically up to the city council. Like we've talked about College Walnut, if that were ever to change from one way to two way, that is a city council ordinance that takes care of that. Similarly, the 7 line, which we did as a part of a bicentennial bond, the council has the authority to decide what kind of traffic controls there are, and speed limits,
it's not,
stop signs,
it's not
all that stuff.
One person rule.
Right.
Why do you think that gets lost with people? Because whether you're Republican, Democrat, or on the fence in between, you're the figurehead. I hear it. Well, the mayor's doing this. Well, you can't really do much, can you?
Well,
you can
look,
suggest and prod and push.
I mean, the mayor's responsible for a lot of things. You know, we've talked a little bit. Indiana has what's called a strong mayor system, where the mayor hires the police chief and the fire chief, and everybody reports to me in the administration side, compared to mayors in some other states where they're basically a member of council and they have a full-time city manager who reports and does it. So the mayor here is kind of like the city manager, and also elected official. But I can do a number of things, like I can, with the city engineer, put a 180-day emergency traffic order in place. That's actually what we did to put the Dunn stop sign back up. That was an emergency order by the engineer, and that's what took us back to city council saying, hey, this 180 days is up. What do you want to do? Now, it was interesting last week, the city council, we presented, and the Bike and Ped Commission, Bike and Pedestrian Commission, and the Traffic Commission both recommended keep the Dunn Street stop sign and don't put any more up. And y'all may remember we had the seven line took out a bunch of stop signs. The Dunn was put back because of accidents there. The city council, on a very close 5-4 vote, with an amendment that came in at the last minute, if you will, said, let's put three more stop signs back up. And it was a heated debate. I actually wasn't there, and I haven't reviewed it all, but I've talked to the people who were there. And it was a heated debate, very close vote, to say put the stop signs back up. Now,
those stop signs would be Washington, Lincoln, and Grant.
Washington, Lincoln, and Morton.
And more that way.
That way, over by Morton. So leaving
Grant
is the one without it. So,
okay.
So,
you know, when I read that, I thought, did somebody get that wrong? Because that's not the order it goes. But,
right.
Well, okay.
That was the amendment.
So putting one at Morton, so the traffic in and out of City Hall, around the farmer's market, et cetera, et cetera.
Used to have a four-way stop.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
And
correct.
So it would be,
but you have the next
that.
Stop would be the trail naturally.
The B-line has a stop.
Going
college,
west.
Of course,
yeah.
Has a stop line.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I just need to read it and not overthink it. When it says Washington, Lincoln.
Well, we make mistakes. I mean, you know, it happens.
Washington, Lincoln, Morton, that's not the order.
That's true.
Maybe
that's true.
Yeah. But okay.
Well,
now
so,
I understand.
So the question really in front of me is I could veto the legislation. I could sign it. We could continue another 180-day order, and I'm actually trying to think about it. I just met with the engineer today. Probably the worst thing to happen is to have things change back and forth. It's just
I agree
confusing.
With you, because it was the argument that it's too hard to follow now that we need to go back to the way it was. When does that due date come and go? I don't know how that
right.
works. And we have so many new people in town, and the kids that live over there. I don't think anybody lives in one spot for 4 years or 3 years, so it's a transitory population. Coming up with the quote-unquote right answer, you go to your experts, you talk to the experts, you talk to the council. What do you find in these situations? Is it a 50-50 split?
Well, in this circumstance, I think what I pay most attention to, there are two factors, really. One is the engineers who look at the data. You know, safety drives these decisions fundamentally. We have more people using the bike lanes than did before. We've had some...
And that's data, not feel.
That's data. It's data.
That's a big deal. I always hear people say, well, when I'm there...
Right.
Well, you can't run a city on feel, can you?
Well, it's not a good idea, I would say.
I don't even run the radio...
Particularly this kind of thing.
I don't even run the radio show on feel. I try to deal in facts.
We want to use data, and so that's one factor, is just paying attention to the data. And then I will say it's a little relevant that the four members who voted against it, three of them are going to be here next year. A fourth indicated who's going to come next year that they want it the way it is. And so it's also trying to predict what might happen, because I don't want it bouncing back and forth. So I've been talking to council members. We have to decide in the next few days. But, you know, I'll be trying to listen to the facts, think about how to keep the city moving forward as safely as we can, and then try to make the best move, and we'll see what happens.
And then that's the tough part, because I think you can make an argument on both sides of why each way should be the way. And, well, then that's where it comes down to you. You've got to take the heat. You're right there in the number one spot.
Well, you know, I will also say walking over, seeing the flags at half staff and knowing what happened over the weekend in the Middle East and Israel and the terrible attacks and the stakes that are involved in some parts of government remind us that sometimes the stakes that we get super exercised about are not as high stakes as we sometimes think they are. I mean, we need to protect
Nor
safety,
should they be, correct.
And there's so many other things that can get everybody exercised about a city. But sometimes it's just a reminder to take a deep breath, remember what's important, what really matters, and let's try to make sure we focus on that fundamentally.
And the data you look at shows accidents... it shows timing of accidents. It shows
type of accident, car, bicycle, any injuries or not, that kind of thing.
And I think what we've learned, at least as I get a little bit older, and people have just, again, more experience as a teacher, you can't legislate every action or inaction. That's not what government is for. Right? You can't come up with everything and say, well, if this, then
that. If you
that.
Try to make a rule to stop everything bad from happening, you're never going to do anything.
Can't leave the house, right?
Right. So, you know, our job is to make sure this place, what we call home, Bloomington, and that many people call a place to visit, is a safe place as much as we can. And, of course, you know, you can't stop every bad thing from happening, but you do all that you can, and you want to make it an exciting place, an interesting place, a thriving place that's growing in jobs and opportunities for people, and that's what I think we want to keep focused on at the high level.
Yeah, bigger picture than and not to say the smaller picture is not as important, but you know, there's a red light out there, and I watch people run the red light. We can't put a bigger sign up, or we can't, you know, put sharks in a moat, dig it around. We can't do any of that, so we just have to use the law of common sense as well, and that's sometimes a little bit easier to get people on board with. So the next step in this process is going to be when?
Really, I have to decide this week probably whether to sign the legislation or not, and then that will help drive what happens next. There is another 180-day order in place right now because it ran out in the last few days. And then, you know, I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over it. I've been talking to experts. I've been talking to council members, and we'll get a decision. And then, look, if 6 months from now the data are different and they indicate something's happening or not happening, that's what you do.
Is that the Traffic and Ped Commission brings that to the next mayor and says, here's what we've seen. Here's the change. Here's why we should review it.
You'll often have the city engineer who tracks that data look at it, and he watches it all the time. We look at we give accident reports for the whole city, look for hot spots that identifies changes. You know, you remember we had some fatalities of pedestrians in this community, and that we want to work very hard.
No turn on red signs.
Right. And speeds, and we want to encourage safe biking and walking. So that drives a lot. And so if data suggests, hey, there's a bunch more crashes than we thought at Lincoln and 7th, then he would come, the engineer would come to the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee, the Traffic Commission, and recommend to them that they recommend to the City Council to change that.
And that's how government works. A little bit of the sausage making, but if it gives you a better understanding of how it works. And as we always tell you, if you have complaints, find your city councilman or write the mayor. You'll answer all the questions when they come up, even when he's right here in the studio. John Hamilton, live with us today, Glass in the Afternoon. And, well, another big talking point. We're just going to hit you with the body blows.
Go for it. Come on.
The water stinks again. Well, I can. And this time around, I could help explain why. Because, well, it didn't rain in the month of September until almost the final date. But now we can see it started that process of the algae and everything else. Because it rained, people are like, oh, shouldn't that be gone? Well, it's already in the system. And
takes a little while. But I listen, first, anybody who wants to come to the water plant and take a tour, I recommend it. They love giving tours to people to see. The water treatment plant on Lake Monroe. That's more fun than visiting the wastewater plant.
That's the one I walk behind on the county trail there. Yeah, and you know when you're getting close.
You can, if the wind is there, that's the wastewater treatment plant. That's when we clean up the water so we can put it back into the streams. But the water treatment plant, drinking water plant down on Lake Monroe, is a wonderful place to visit. It's where they do this chemistry, and it's actually chemists who are figuring out how do we manage this. I will say, because we draw our water from surface water, it's a different challenge than if you're drawing groundwater up, right? So it changes a lot based on the rain and the heat, the temperatures, and I saw some of that issue. We've been fortunate over the last couple of years to avoid that. We have new carbon activation, new chemicals that we're trying, but you, of course, have to be careful because you can't mess around with drinking water. You have to make sure you're complying with all the safety rules, and it's all safe to drink. But I would recommend people go out there as the rain increases, as the temperatures decrease, we're going to see that any odor and taste issues evaporate, I would say.
Other than putting a climate-controlled dome over Lake Monroe, there's really nothing can do besides balance these chemicals and keep, again, data driving these decisions.
We do. It's data and money, right, on what you can afford to do, what you can't afford to do.
Well, that's interesting because I know how important drinking water is. You can't just go up the street and get it from somewhere else. So spending that money, we have to do that, right?
We do. And also, look, if you want to attend or remotely the Utility Service Board, it's a great group of people made of residents of our community who oversee that system. One of the long-term things they're looking at, Mike, is interesting because, you know, that's our only source of water. And not just for us, but for this whole metropolitan area. We sell it wholesale to others. We really want a second source of water. And one thing, if we had a groundwater second source of water, that does give you some ability to mix and match in different times of the season. It also gives us a resilience. Now, that's a nine-figure problem, probably $100 million or something.
Drilling it's piping it, getting it out of the ground.
Big deal, but it's, look, Bloomington had to have a really big solution 50-plus years ago with the lake because we had water issues. We really do need to think, and the utility board and the utility folks are looking at that long-term.
And it's not as simple as just going over to Griffey. It's not
that
as simple, or
nope.
Or what was the other?
Lemon.
Twin Lakes at one point.
We had Lemon. Twin Lakes, Griffey, and Lemon have all been sources of water.
Well, they've outgrown those.
We have.
And we're not shrinking, are we?
We're not.
No. That decision, whenever it would be made, that would be, as you mentioned, a huge price tag. I don't want to get into that.
Well, one of the things that can help, we would probably try to get federal money to help with that.
Sure.
Like Lake Monroe was done with a whole range.
Let me play
funding.
Fearmonger instead. That seems to get ratings
okay,
these days.
Okay.
Why would we need another source? Lake Monroe is huge. It's deep. It's this. What could go wrong where you think we need to have a backup plan? I know it's a little morbid, but.
Yeah. Well, look, anytime you have a single source of drinking water, that's a big deal for resilience, right? Anything could happen if you had a problem at the plant, or you had a problem that was really cataclysmic at the lake, at the water source. It would be a big challenge for our community to get enough drinking water in by road or by air, you know. So and look, Lake Monroe is also an artificial lake. It doesn't have a permanent lifetime to it. So thinking decades out is good planning. So I think it's the right thing to do. I think it'll take a number of years, but I think it's long-term. Look, we want to live here for centuries, right? So let's figure out how to protect our water. And by the way, we have abundant water supply in this part of southern Indiana, and that's a huge, valuable resource for us.
Yep, and that's not going to be, maybe not be the case everywhere else.
Yeah, for sure.
And then if they all start moving here, well, you can just start doing a little math there. I don't do math on the air anymore. I'm not any good at that. Mayor John Hamilton live in the studio this afternoon. Yes, we usually go from 4 to 4:30, but we're on the other half of the hour now. Budget, where are we? We're getting close, right?
We are. Tomorrow is supposed to be the final vote of the budget. We have a city council at 6:30. We did the public hearing a couple weeks ago. There may be a couple amendments or discussions, but I'm hopeful that we'll get the 2024 budget approved tomorrow.
When you talk about a couple of amendments, do you mean literally one or two, or do you mean
literally
a handful?
One or two?
Okay,
yep.
Because at this point in the process, it's been advertised. It's you can't really. There's not a lot of flexibility.
And as you know, as we've talked about in the Indiana law, all the city council can do is reduce the budget. They
Correct.
Can't change it. They can't move from here to there. They can't increase it, but they can move to reduce it. And I think we've seen a couple amendments that may seek to do that. I We'll see what happens with him tomorrow. I shouldn't try to predict, but tomorrow night, nine
votes. You have a good feeling of how that is going to work because it would have come across your desk
I hope so.
The monolith, where are we there? That's another, the gateway, excuse me. I wrote that down. That's another hot button issue that's not a really an issue to get hot buttoned about, but it has brought out all of a sudden.
People do.
Arts community. It's brought out nature. It's brought out everything. Back in 2019, when this got started, just because when the pandemic hit, do you think that's how we got lost in translation here a little bit?
Well, or? I do think, you know, as part of the bicentennial, in back and forth with the city council, we did a $10 million package, mostly trails, a lot of trees. But we did also say, you know, Bloomington, we should be proud, and we should wear that on our sleeve a little bit more than we do. To welcome you to town, we're proud of this city. We work hard together to make it a great place. So we did plan to do some gateways. It is true, I think, Mike, that when the pandemic hit, the idea, and you know how everybody was struggling, and we were trying to figure out how to keep employment and keep things moving. It wasn't the right time to say, let's do a fancy gateway. Let's just put a pause on that. So we did. But I still, look, many people who listen go to other cities and you see them saying, hey, welcome to our community. We're proud of who we are. We want you to know where you are. And I think that's important for Bloomington, too. The design is always going to have people who like or don't like it.
Sure.
And mostly what I don't design these things.
No.
We have a process. We have professionals and we get public input and we've done all that in this circumstance. And it's led to a product that I think will be great. I think people will learn to love it, if not everybody loves it at the beginning. And I think
it'll grow on you.
It will, and people will take pictures there and say, oh, I want to. That's what I think of when I think of Bloomington. So tonight I think we have one more round of the Public Works Board just allowing the public right-of-way to be used to build it. The hope is to get it built. It's being fabricated now and get it installed so we can open it up by wintertime.
And the comment and vote part of this is all...
The votes were done. Basically what happens is the city council says to the Parks Department, go make this happen. And the Parks Department gets lots of feedback from the public and from art community and from the designers, the landscape architects. And then with that feedback, they design a great product, just like they design a great product, like a park. Now, I did want to mention one thing because people have talked about the cost of this. Most, the gateway itself is a few $100,000. Most of the cost, the biggest piece of the cost is actually improving the infrastructure in Miller Showers Park to create a better way to get from east to west so that we have handicap ramps and better sidewalk connections and all that. They're not really part of the artistic part of the gateway, but
right.
It's part of the infrastructure that we need to improve anyway, even if we didn't put any gateway features.
So it's nice you can tie it all together.
And as you may note, there are a lot more people living right up there.
And they're going to
hundreds
be.
Hundreds more. And they're going to be crossing more. There, and we need to make it safe for them to do that.
And Bloomington is growing. We know that for sure. I have a list of 20 other things, but we're going to let you get back to work here.
We're going to do Sibling Cities next time again, right? We punted that, but we don't have anything emergency coming up.
We're
so
going to
we'll
do that.
Next
we're going to do billboards. We're
yeah,
going to get.
Yeah.
But again, this isn't goodbye. This is you just stopping by to say hi.
A little visit.
Well, yeah, the door's open next week too. So if you want to come in, see that's what stinks about when we're live. Then we goof around, and then all of a sudden the hour's up.
See,
but no, that's fun.
No.
Yeah. So please come back.
Delightful. Thank you so much for
please come back.
Here.
Appreciate that's Mayor John Hamilton live in the studio. We need to take a quick timeout. Joe Smith Reports will wrap the hour up. And you know what? We'll do that after a quick timeout.